Welcome everyone to iloverealestate.tv. Great to have everybody on board. I'm going to talk today about tips for design for construction. Now, it's a great topic to talk about because construction is one of those things that is overlooked to a large extent. And regardless of whether you're just starting out or whether you're further down the line, construction is really something that I think everybody should be considering. But you know, you can do a lot of construction and still not make money. So there is an art to it. So what I've done today is I've actually invited one of my students along who's been with me for a lot of years. She's a very experienced developer in her own right. She runs her own architectural firm. She's been in design and construction basically for the last 20 odd years. Not that you look like it. We're both in the same bracket there, I think. But that means, of course, it comes with a huge amount of experience. Her name is Helena Farrell. Welcome, Helena.
Hi, thanks, Dipna, for asking me to come here.
Oh, lovely to have you here. So when you first started out, I mean, your training was actually more in design. Was that where you started?
Yeah, I started in interior design specifically. And then moved into other areas depending on what was required for the projects and clients I had. So starting out, I took on all sorts of work of everything under the sun. So whatever was required, I worked out how to do it.
You actually did a lot of work on the large commercial buildings and things like that, didn't you? Where you were renovating and completely fitting out big corporate offices and things like that, weren't you?
Yeah, I did. One of my the beginning of my business, I started firstly in residential a little, but then I started to do commercial, and I got involved with some companies that did corporate work. So from there, most of my work now, probably 80 to 90% of it ended up being commercial fit outs. Mm. So right through to one of the last ones that I did in my previous business doing corporate was 16,000 square metres of office space for Rio Tinto.
That's rather large.
That's huge, yes. It took quite a few years to get that one done.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so you've got a big background. Do you actually have a website?
I do. I have a website, one that is really the interior part. That's a older website that admittedly I haven't updated for some time, but that's under one business name, ID Designers and Property Passion. Mm-hmm. So there's the architectural wing is Property Passion.
Right.
So
people can find you there if they want to go and check you out.
Yeah, they can have a look at that. And then the Property Development Division, the section there, I've separated that, and that's under Total Development Solutions.
Okay.
So that's separate again.
Very good. Okay, so let's get into some of the design tips for construction. Where do you start? Like, how do you decide where you need to start or what you're actually going to build?
Well, we'd always start with the end user. Who is going to buy? If you're building particularly to sell, if you're an investor and that's your purpose, you would find out first who's going to buy this product. That's it.
Okay. So your end user. So how do we find that out? Where do we go?
You'd go to real estate agents, contact them, go to home opens and see what's for sale and what it looks like, mm-hmm. how it's been done. And then also go through your data with both the real estate agents, and if you have access to RP Data or Price Finder, find out what has sold. And when you look into the details of that information, actually open the file, look at the photos that are in with every home that you look at, and look at what they look like. Mm. Look at the floor plans. They usually have a floor plan. Look at the space, how it's designed, and have a look what sells quickest and what sells for the best price for the size.
This is really becoming an expert in the area, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when you decide on your patch where you're going to do things, it's really about getting in and knowing everything you can about that patch. And that means going to every open home, watching every property that comes on the market, having a look at how long it took to sell and what everything, you know, what bench tops were there and what floor coverings and everything, you know, right down to the last minute detail of what sold first, what took a long time, why did it take a long time, was it the market, was it the property, was it the agent? And this is all stuff that you really should be documenting.
Oh, definitely. When we go through and do our information on the end product, I take screenshots of pretty much all through the RP data. I do reports, make up my own reports using their documentation as to what sold. I find the niche of what I first of all find out, okay, what's going to get me the best return, a 3 or a 4 bedroom, for instance? Is it a family area? Is it not? What my budget is? Well, you go back a step. What is my budget? Mm. Can my budget afford a 3 or 4 bedroom? Is there a big uplifting cost between a 3 and a 4 bedroom? Some areas is only you only end up getting an extra 20,000-30,000 on your end value. It's not worth it.
And it costs you that to build the extra bedroom.
Exactly. Other areas, it can be an uplift of difference between 150, sometimes even 200,000 in a mid-end property. Mm. So that then makes it very worthwhile. So it's a matter of, okay, then you're targeting a different demographic. You're going to families. What size lot do they want? They expect a backyard. How old are their children? Mm. They're teenagers generally, or is it younger people? Mm-hmm. What school zone are you in? In some states, a school zone that people buy in is huge.
Absolutely, it makes a big difference.
It makes a huge difference. Other states, not so much. Other cities, not so much. So it depends on where you are and what people are looking for. Mm. So, you know, you really need to know, and what sort of price point are they prepared to pay? RP data will tell you that. You'll see straight away properties that often take too long to sell are overpriced.
Yep.
They want too much for them.
Yep.
Other properties are badly presented. Other properties don't have lots large enough. Other properties are badly designed. Other properties are badly finished. Others aren't decorated well. And some just have all of the above.
So for someone just starting out and, you know, going to do their first design and construction deal, how long would it take you normally to become the local expert on all of those things?
Honestly, if you went to every home open every weekend and contacted agents from the beginning and did a hell of a lot of research online yourself and went through all of that, you could probably find that out within about a month.
Okay.
You know, I reckon 6 to 8 weeks max if you do it really full on. Like, we've looked at demographics into more development sites for projects and for clients, and some areas we're not familiar with, not really familiar with. Mm-hmm. So we just do massive amount of research on a very short period, short period of time.
I mean, you've got a whole team working with you.
We do, yes. Yeah. And then we basically probably get 6 to 8 weeks done in about 4 days. But
you've got a big team working with you.
Yeah, so, you know, we do that, but we do, and that's where you collate a lot of information. But there's hours of work in that. There's probably 4 solid days in there.
So let's talk demographics. You know, how do you find that information out? How do you know who's living in that suburb or who's moving into that suburb, whether they're singles or whether they've got kids, or how do you find that stuff out?
Well, to be honest, it's actually on REWA for Western Australia, realestate.com. Each of the states have got their own real estate thing. Australian Bureau of Statistics, it all comes from there.
Mm-hmm.
So fundamentally, there's lots and lots of sources if you check online. You pretty much Google it and you'll find a hell of a lot of information on demographic statistics for every suburb. You can go into that and find that information readily and for free.
Now, colours are something that vary consistently. You know, there's always, you know, the trend of this colour's in favour and that colour's out and that kind of stuff. So, you know, you've come from a very strong design background. How do you keep on top of that stuff, and how do you know what's going to last as opposed to something that's going to be trendy for 18 months and then it's finished?
Well, to be honest, when it comes to doing the property, if you really have no idea, and you put aside at least a budget of maybe even $1,500 within it to a couple of thousand max, you would be able to get somebody in to help you do that if you really don't have a clue and you're not good at that.
Mm-hmm.
Alternatively, look through magazines, look through the internet, go onto House, H-O-U-Z-Z, they're brilliant.
Yeah.
There's also so many Pinterest, that's got heaps of pins and stuff. I mean, it gets confusing if you don't have any idea. Generally neutral, everybody says neutral. Neutral, yes, but neutral, boring, no. But
so what's the difference between neutral and neutral, boring?
Very good point. Everything white and beige, no. But tone on tone of similar, they call it monochromatic, which is one colour, which is usually a neutral toning, but accents of high, up and down of that. And then when you go to stage it, if you have a finished product that you're selling or you're going to live in and then sell, you have to really stage it. It's worth every cent.
Mm-hmm.
And in staging is where you add your colour. Try not to add it to the structure so much, because then people are stuck with the teal blue in their bathroom that, you know, whilst it's all decorated looking beautiful, is great. But if people have bought before, they'll say, oh, I don't like that colour.
Yeah.
So it's more, but don't
go... So do it in the towels and the soap dispenser and that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, and then in the living room, do it as a coloured lounge. You know, put a
cushions,
or put a red coloured lounge if it suits the decor or whatever. I mean, red's probably a bit dominant for most people, but put it in colour elsewhere and keep stuff.
Colour's a funny thing because when I think of red, I think of young hipster kind of professional. I don't think family. Whereas, you know, the family is probably going to be a little more subdued, I suppose, in their colours. Am I right in that, or am I totally offbeat?
No, that's fairly right to a point. But then if you add accent colour, again, it depends on your demographic. Yeah. If you go into a younger demographic, I'd add accent colours with, you know, more primaries, but not totally primaries, probably like a subdued, a dirty red or a red with a bit more dirty. So subdued, sort of blood red colour or cherry colour with a bit more purple in it, or a colour that's off the main primary spectrum. Alternatively, if I was going to a more upmarket area, I'd keep it into the greens and olives and, you know, teals. If I was near the beach, I'd keep it into the blues, teals, resorty sort of feel. All depends on the location and who you're selling to and the age group of who you're selling to.
So how do you know that?
You learn it, or you go to a professional who knows it.
You learn it. Right.
Okay. Maybe not the best answer. Magazines, pictures, okay. Belle, Vogue Living, House and Garden, all of those show it. They'll show it to a different spectrum
and
at a different price point.
The house is actually a very good one.
That's a very good one. Yeah, that's a really good one for ideas.
You see how colours work and things like that.
And then if you really are not capable of doing that, the best thing is to admit it to yourself and pay a little
bit. Don't worry about it.
That's right. Pay somebody who can help you with that. It's worth the money. You know, get somebody in just to do your colour selections. Get them to pick your floor coverings, which are important. Get them to pick your wall paint colours. Get them to pick your kitchen and bathroom tiles and cabinetry and bench tops.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to cost you, even somebody really experienced, they'll charge you a lot more by the hour, but they should do it in half the time of somebody less experienced.
Yeah.
So for a couple of thousand in your budget, you would easily be able to get that done just as a pure, clean colour selection.
And the reality is it could make $50,000 difference in the sale price if you get it totally wrong.
God, yeah. Even if you went to somebody who was expensive and it was four or $5,000, you know, and they did a lot of other stuff with that, it's still worth it, because if you screw that up, it looks awful and people notice. People don't notice when something looks perfect. They notice that it just looks good.
Yeah.
But when something's out of place, it just jars and there's something not quite right.
And they don't even know why they've got an off feeling. And that can be the difference between a sale and not a sale.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah.
Just talking on these, you know, alternate sort of things, what about feng shui? How important do you find that? Do you get your plans feng shui'd?
Personally, not so much.
Okay.
And I've got a lady who works for me full time who's amazing.
Okay.
And she is Malaysian and her mother's a feng shui person.
Oh, there you go.
And she...
So it's all incorporated into the designs.
Well, to a point. What it is feng shui is a lot of, if you go into it, it's a lot of common sense. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is a lot of common sense, psychological, good design. So I'd say a fairly large portion of it is that. The rest of it is not. The rest of it is philosophies, Eastern philosophies that are brought into, you know, brought into putting them into practical sequence. A lot of it shouldn't need, a lot of people go there and they need all these crystals over doors and these things hanging here and these things hanging there. Most of those are basically caused by feng shui not being good. Mm-hmm. So if it's designed well in the first place, you don't need all of those remediation things happening. However, some blocks you can't do it. You know, you can't get your orientation because your lot's just not the right way to do it.
Yeah.
You can't put your front door at the backyard because that works with feng shui.
Yeah.
You can't do certain things functionality-wise because it just isn't possible. Mm. So then, you know, and also it depends on who your end buyer is. I'll be honest, most Australians wouldn't have a clue and don't really care. If you've got Asian buyers, perhaps. Mm. But even then, if you're just conscious of good design and psychological good design, that can
and
work. Flow. And walking in and not having a staircase that as you walk in the front door, all you're doing is looking straight up at the staircase. You know, that just is a bit intimidating as you walk in. And it's still, and it's also not good feng shui. But certain things are very much a common sense thing. You don't want to walk in your front door and see your master bed.
Yeah.
And other things that you don't want to actually be able to do because it's just not good design.
And the way to do that is really go through a lot of open homes and see how they're designed, and see the ones that feel big and open and spacious that you like, and then feel the ones that feel like a rabbit warren, and look at the designs and go, well, why do I feel that way when I walk into this place versus that one? Is it the decor? Is it the colours? Is it the flow? You know, and have a look at all of those things and just do some test and measure for yourself.
Well, that's right. And when you go into somewhere and you think, oh, wow, this is great, have a look at how quickly it sells. But then also look at if it doesn't sell quickly, is it the price?
Yeah.
Is it the location?
Is it the agent?
That's right. Mm. Exactly. Is it something about the house that other than the feel, it just has got a few major issues with it? Mm. And that's where you have to just work out by going through stuff, what do people really want at the end of the day? Yes. And that's really, really important. Another thing is space. People think that space is just your floor plate, like your actual floor area. Mm. It's not. It's your height of your ceilings. It's the amount of windows. It's the amount of openings and how large those openings are. Mm. It's also the colour, like, you know, the idea, lighting, artificial lighting. If you can't get natural lighting into an area, put more lights in and turn the lights on when you've got a home open. If it's the middle of the day, turn the damn things on. It doesn't matter that it's the middle of the day.
That's true.
Turn on all your lamps, even if it's in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
They don't have to be on at night. They look great.
Yeah.
And they add so much more ambient lighting to a space and make it look bigger.
Yeah. And feel better.
Oh, exactly. Mm. Also, type of lighting. Everybody's going with LED lights. They're great, but be very careful. The cool lights that people are supplying, which are the 5,000 and 6,000, that's just a number, which they're called cool white. Mm-hmm. They're too cold. They render whatever you put in there very icy. Mm-hmm. And you can't tell, if all your house is like that, it just feels like it's lit up like the 4th of July and it's very cold. Mm-hmm. But if you start putting a couple of warmer whites in, which is around the 4,000,
okay.
3,000 to 4,000s, they give a much, much better ambient lighting, much better, much warmer. They don't render colours, they don't wash colours out, they don't kill colours. You will lose lumens, so you'll lose the amount of light, so you probably have to put in certain areas more of them.
Mm.
But the light source is much, much friendlier on both the eye and on whatever you put inside that room.
Okay. So let's talk about designing and constructing for a homeowner as opposed to an investor. What's the difference? What would be the sum of the differences with fittings and level of finishes and things like that you'd consider?
Okay, well, with a homeowner, you'd go much more into their personal preferences,
mm-hmm.
while still, as a designer, while still making that work, be fashionable and have some longevity to it. So as a homeowner, you'll have personal preferences that you want to incorporate that aren't cost effective to do as an investor. That's another thing. Like, you might want bifolding walls all across the back of your house because you want to entertain open and, you know, have an open area.
Yep.
But the cost of that would be not worthwhile, because your return on investment wouldn't make it worthwhile if you did it as an investment.
Mm.
In a higher demographic where you've got a high return, perhaps it would. But in a mid to lower demographic, probably not.
Not enough.
No. And also your colours. You might put in bright colours while you're doing it yourself. Like, you might have a small child who's 4 or 5 years old and she wants a pink bedroom.
Yeah.
Go for it. But when you go to sell it, change it. Make it neutral.
Yeah, that's right.
And don't put pink curtains. At least put neutral curtains in there, because they're a high cost item to replace.
Mm.
Just paint the walls pink, put some bedding on that's pink, and a few other things that you can easily remove and replace.
Yeah, so nothing that's hard to change.
No, nothing that structurally is hard to change. Mm. If you want an area that's all open through the whole house, just be conscious that instead of putting a total opening floor to ceiling in a certain spot, you put an opening that can have a door put into it at a later stage, perhaps.
Mm.
Because sometimes heating and cooling in very, very large spaces is very, very hard.
Yeah.
And people don't realise that till they live in them.
Now, you do quite a bit of construction for middle to upper.
Yes.
You don't do a lot of low end, do you?
Not so much, but we have been doing stuff for people recently, okay. where we've been doing lower end, they call them villas, little houses on a mm-hmm. subdivided site here
okay.
in Perth.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been designing them more so for other people. I primarily haven't done them myself personally, because I haven't had it. They don't have a, currently in Perth and other states I've looked at, they haven't had a good enough return on investment for what I've been looking at.
Yeah.
But if people have got them and they can make money,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can do them. We just pare everything right down. Different story altogether.
What do you mean by pare everything down?
Well, your tiles on your floor. I wouldn't go for large format tiles. They cost too much to lay. It's not just that they cost too much to buy. They cost more to buy, but they also cost more to lay.
Mm.
Because the bigger the tiles, the harder it is for the tiler to get them all nice and flat with no ridge, light lipping.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'd go for probably tiles that are 400 by 400, not 6 by 6. I wouldn't go for porcelain. I'd probably go for ceramic because they cost less. Mm-hmm. In the bathrooms, I'd go for a skirting tile. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't tile to the ceiling like we normally would do.
Yeah.
So skirting tile throughout the toilet, bathroom, just the shower goes up high, maybe one or two above the bath and the vanity.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd pare it down. If we have the money, I'd probably use a feature tile in the bathroom, but on one shower wall. And if it's a nice floor tile, I'd select a nice floor tile and use that as a feature. Much, much cheaper than going and buying a feature tile that you pay five times the price per square metre for.
Mm.
So detail it. Still do, again, you might not get stone bench top. So when I do a laminate bench top, I try to just upgrade it a tiny bit, which usually even fits into the lower price point, with square form tops, which are the squarish edge post form tops. They look a lot better than the square laminate with the black edge on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then same in the kitchen. If you can't pay for a stone or even a composite stone, engineered stone, basically just go for a square edged bench top in the laminate, which have become quite popular. But some of the older builders still do the rounded ones.
Mm. So round is out.
Round has been out for a while. You try to keep to a square edge. Yeah, I believe
it. Not saying I'm done for a while, but anyway.
No, that's right. I don't use a lot of laminates anymore because now the stone looks and engineered.
It's getting really quite cheap.
It's quite cheap. It's,
especially the ones that are man-made.
That's right. The engineered stones now are pretty well priced. So we use those mostly as an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And in your bathrooms, again, just don't use large format tiles. They cost too much to lay. Porcelain costs more than ceramic, and then stone is pretty much out of the question at that price point.
Mm. And then obviously size is smaller.
Yeah, rooms are smaller. You cut all, when you're doing the design on your rooms, you keep your master bedroom as big as you can. Don't make bedrooms any smaller than 3x3 as a master. That's way too small as it is. So we try to keep the master about 3.2 by 3.6 as a minimum on the lower cost end, right down the bottom end.
Mm.
Second bedroom, 2.9 by 3.2.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third bedrooms, because it's really third and fourth, project home builders go down to 2.7.
Now you do a lot of design and construct for people.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
And you project manage developments.
Yep, we do that also.
And also teach people through the process while you're project managing.
Yep, we do projects where we joint venture with other investors, mm-hmm. as well as where we do work for other people. And
just fee for service.
Yeah, fee for service, and we charge them for the time as well as for the service, as well as we can help mentor them and teach them how to do it.
And that goes right back to architectural services and everything else, because you do have all of that on staff.
Yeah, we can provide the whole project from woe to go if needed, from the start to the finish.
So if people wanted to follow you up on that, where would they go?
They would go and contact us on telephone number, on my telephone. It's 0409-443-728.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have a website, which I mentioned earlier, Total Development Solutions.
Pop on there and have a look.
Have a look at that.
Mm.
And the other one is Property Passion also. Mm. There's a website that goes to, so you can contact us on that. I think we're on House as well, so we've got an ad on there somewhere.
Good.
And and that's about it.
Well, thanks for helping out today and helping everybody with a few very, very informative and very valuable tips there, because it's something that can either make or break a new construction. Whether you're building a house or whether you're building a duplex or a block of units or an apartment building five stories high, the design really comes down to being on the mark, on target with what the market actually needs. And there's a lot of work and research that goes into that. And then, the small things, even the little things about, tile sizes and whether they go up the wall or don't go up the wall, and colours and, all of those things need to come together. And that's what makes the difference, I find, between something that makes really good profit and something that either breaks even or loses money. And it's all of those little things combined. And, it's an ongoing learning process. So thank you so much for coming in, Helena, and covering off on all those things to help everybody out.
No, thank you. And thank you for asking me.
Very good. So, guys, don't forget to subscribe to iloverealestate.tv and to go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. They're a great information source on all sorts of different topics. I have different guests coming on all the time. And make sure you refer them to all the friends and family to get them on the same page as you, so you're all moving in the same direction. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And I'll be back again to talk to you very, very soon on another completely different topic. Talk to you again, guys. Bye for now.